everyone. Welcome to a maction-packed episode of ARG Presents. I am Amigo Aaron, joined today alongside me, a man who can turn the world on with his smile. He can take a nothing day and suddenly make it seem worthwhile, the Brent.
Hey everybody, how's it going?
Oh, Jesus.
So, if you joined us last week, we spun the wheel, we made the deal. And this week, and I'm excited about this one, Brent, I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm glad one of us.
We are playing games on the super duper rare, incredibly off the wall Action Max console that you see before you if you're watching the video stream. Brent, what do you know about the Action Max console?
Previously nothing, now slightly more than nothing.
It's tremendous, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, it is tremendous, but don't just think that's a good thing.
So, let's learn a little bit about the Action Max.
Well, okay.
What a name. Let's talk about that name for a minute. Has there ever been a console name that was better and more exciting than Action Max?
Action Max.
That means action at the maximum.
I will have to say that the marketing on this was strong.
Yeah, I mean, saw some commercials in.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely went with that, we are better than everyone else. Just, you know, don't try to verify the facts. Just accept we're better.
Correct. So... And we've got to think about the world the Action Max was released in, and we'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah,
so,
that's actually really important. Yeah.
So the Action Max was developed by Worlds of Wonder.
Yes.
Now, what do you know about Worlds of Wonder? That's sort of an iconic toy company, aren't they?
They had two massive hits in Teddy Ruxpin and Laser Tag.
Correct.
Yeah. And that is actually where they got all of their money.
Now, I did not have a Teddy Ruxpin, although I kind of wanted one, although I was older. But I always thought it'd be cool to put, like, rock and roll tapes in him and make him sing. But
yeah.
Teddy Ruxpin, for the uninformed, was a animatronic teddy bear that was for the home consumer, and he could tell stories and talk, and he had a cassette deck in his back.
Yeah.
And he was pretty cool. I mean, at the time, you'd never see anything quite like this guy, had you?
No, he was really impressive.
He also had this, like, additional guy. I think it was like a... what was that guy? Was he a snail
or something? Inchworm, I think.
Yeah, but Teddy Ruxpin was a real big hit. They also had, as Brent mentioned, Laser Tag. Now, Laser Tag, we had the remnants of one. I'm not sure we ever had the full work.
We didn't play them.
We had a gun and a target.
Yeah. Two targets. Yeah.
My buddy had a system, and we used to go to his house and play it pretty good. Until people realized that you could cover up the sensor and not get shot, which was that kind of defeated the fun of the game. But it was basically a sensor that you would hang on your clothing. Your other buddy would have a laser gun, and if the sensor detected the laser gun shot, it would go off. It'd make a noise and it would light up. Really cool. Again, way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was a great that was their best product.
Right. So. With those hits under their belt, they turned their eyes toward the, I guess you would call it the console, the video game world.
Yes, absolutely.
And so they brought forth the Action Max. Now, the Action Max, I read reports that it was released in December of 86, so I'm guessing it was released right around Christmas time. Most reports have it being released in 87.
Right.
Now, this came out at a United States dollar price of $99.
Yeah.
And this is 87. $219 today.
Yeah.
So still fairly reasonable price for a console, one would think.
Well, and they're making... I can't imagine they'd be making less than like 80% profit off of it.
Well,
in the console.
Well, we got to think about production costs, but we'll get into that in a moment. So... What do you get when you buy an Action Max? Now, this is what your $99 would get you. And for you watching on the video stream, you see some of it before you. And for those listening on the podcast, we'll kind of voice over it. So, for starters, you would get the Action Max console. The Action Max console had these three switches in the front, a couple of knobs, and this was a scoring readout, this little window here. And what this does is basically plugs into the into your television, and
not really.
Well, it does in a way, and I'll explain why. It
plugs into your television's audio.
That's right. It plugs into your television's audio to allow you to experience these. And I'm holding up cheap Dime Store headset. Yeah. This is the original headset that came with the Action Max.
They were crap even for the time.
What do you think, man? Yeah. I think they're made for a kid, dude. I don't know. These were no good headset, but it did come with a headset that you could plug into this thing. And I'm guessing the gimmick was you could sit down and play this thing and not bother your folks.
From what I saw, the gimmick was it brought you closer to the action. Closer. That was at least the marketing spiel.
Closer to the action. And that was sort of their thing. You're part of the action.
Yeah.
So what else do you get for your money? Well, you also get this little red light right here. It's a little like a police light almost. It's a red light special, eh? And this has a suction cup on the bottom to hook on the screen of your television.
Yes.
Have you ever seen a peripheral that hooks directly to your screen? I mean, not around it, I mean on it.
Well, I mean, the closest thing would certainly be the power glove that attached around your screen on two sides.
Not the same.
But yeah, this one actually sucks. I can stop right there. But it sucks directly onto the screen with a suction cup.
You also got the sleek, stylish, deadly weapon that was the Action Max Blaster. Hold that thing up, Brent. Look at that. Give it a couple clicks. Show them. Give them some satisfying click action. Brent's holding up something. Let's call this thing. What would you say this thing looks like? A Luger?
Yep.
It looks sort of like a Luger.
Made in China.
It's gray. It's battleship gray.
It actually feels decent in the hand.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The trigger has a little click sound.
So, you're asking yourself, what in God's name have you got there? Well, what you've got here is the first ever video game console that ran off of VCR, or video cassette recorder for the uninformed.
That's right.
So, along with the gun, the headset, the light, console, all the manuals, you've got one game. And the game you got is actually the game Brent chose today.
No, it isn't. You get
You get Sonic Fury. Now, I'm going to go with a Mach 3 takeoff. Let's go there.
It is very Top Gun-ish.
Right. Well, effectively, all these videotapes are sort of the same, which we'll get into it. But this did ship with the one game. Came in a nice package. I'll show you the package I had for mine, but it's garbage. It's literally falling apart.
The most important thing to take away from the packaging is it's gargantuan.
Yeah, it's a good-sized package.
You
yeah.
could fit one of us into it. It's huge. Well,
it's not that big. That'd be a crate. That's a crate. Or some kind of shipping container. So, how did this thing work? Well,
poorly.
No, a takeoff now. So, and I hooked mine up and had a good time. But, oh, I should mention, this thing did not come with a plug-in, a plug-in
adapter.
That's right. If I were to spin this thing over, and I'm afraid I'll destroy it, but if I turn it over, this thing has a battery place. It takes four C batteries.
I believe you're correct.
And mine had a little leakage when I bought it, because you know how batteries are. Apparently, my batteries have been since the dawn of time. You could buy an AC adapter sold separately. So you know that shtick, right?
They were certainly banking on the extra sale for
that. Right. It also came with all the cabling you would need. But that's one thing it did not have was the AC adapter. Strange choice. Kind of cut to keep the cost down to $99.
No, I think they were trying to make extra money on the adapter. I honestly do. The problem was, it's not like this ever made it outside the U.S. It did. A very late and poor PAL release.
Incorrect.
I think it was a money grab, personally.
So,
4C batteries.
4C batteries.
Alkaline, strongly suggested.
Yeah, I will say that they would probably last for a while, given with the amount of at work that the console does. The console is basically, it doesn't do much.
It does virtually nothing.
So what happens is, I'm going to explain this fully. You take a videotape, and let's go with Sonic Fury. You put it in the VCR, and when you start the VCR up, the tape comes up and says, "Okay, put the sensor here, and then calibrate your color." It'll put some words up on the screen. It'll say light, dark, darker, black, and it wants you to adjust your settings. And this is so the areas that the Action Mac uses to contact to bounce with the gun have to be at the exact right
brightness.
Yeah. So then, and so it puts a little dot on your screen. That's where you plug it. It's in the lower right-hand corner. Mm-hmm. That's where you pop on the sensor onto the TV. The sensor plugs into the console. Then you also take your gun, you plug that into the console.
Yep.
So you've got your gun. Now, you can also plug in your headset. You can plug in the sound. I never do that.
Yeah.
Again.
Because if you don't, it still plays the gun noise through the console.
Yeah, it doesn't
basically, every time you pull the trigger, it makes a gun noise.
Well, yeah. I guess you could call it that.
It makes what's supposed to be a gun noise.
So we've got it all hooked up. You've got the sensor in the little spot, the console hooked to the sensor, the gun hooked to the sensor, and your battery's installed. Okay, you're ready to play Action Max. So put on the Action Max console. You've got and you start and you hit play on the tape.
Yes.
Then you'll have a target practice. Like every tape has a target practice session. And trust me when I tell you, target practice is shoot middle of screen.
Yeah, yeah. It literally the middle of the screen flashes and you shoot it as many times as you can.
Now this works on the same basic premise that all old school light guns work on. The gun has a sensor in it. It hits the screen and it tells if you can hit or miss according to if it gets that flash in the sensor.
Right.
Unlike a lot of, let's say, I'm going to use a Nintendo Zapper as an example. Unlike a lot of Zappers or your Sega Master System, this one's not that good. It's
really bad.
It's loose. It's a spruce goose. Not accurate. I have found. And now, so I thought to myself, maybe it's because your system is old and beat down. But I have read many reviews, old school looks at it, and people that have pristine systems, and they all pretty much say the same thing. It's not a very accurate system. I wonder if some of that's due to videotape clarity. One thing that Nintendo, for example, is generating its graphics in real time versus the degradation of playing a videotape over and over. I wonder how much that has to do with it, but you never know.
You knew it was a problem, and they knew it was a problem, because there's a knob on the front of the console that you're supposed to use to adjust for distance from the television.
That's right.
It's really adjusting sensitivity.
Yeah.
So if you crank that thing all the way up, you're hitting every time.
Right.
Or crank it all the way down, and you can never hit ever.
Right. And so the way this game works, so for example, if you're playing Sonic Fury, you may show an airplane flying over, say, a canyon.
Yes.
And then you may see airplanes fly around in front of you. And so the airplanes will have little... not that little. Like, they'll have round, circular patterns on them that inside there, it's just like a flashing, like a silvery white pattern. What would you call that? You know, it's
seizure-inducing pattern.
That's right. And then what you got to do is you take your gun here and you take aim and bam, 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 and you try to shoot these things. Now, when you shoot a target on the Action Max, nothing happens.
Absolutely
on the screen.
Nothing.
Why
on the
is
screen.
That, Brent?
Because the videotape is a videotape.
That's right. So... on some games I've noticed, now not on mine, we'll get to that in a moment, what they'll do is to kind of simulate something happening. It's like you'll be firing your gun at, say, an airplane, and then occasionally one will explode, and that's assumably you blew it up. You know, make it feel like something's happening.
Because often when you're flying around an airplane, you stick your arm out the window and use your pistol to shoot down the enemy.
Use your imagination, man. You're simulating. This is the trigger on an F-16 or something.
Okay.
That's right. That's how they do it. I like the image of sticking your hand out the side of an F-16 and turn your gun sideways and start wailing on a bad guy. So you're like, well, that's not much of a game. Well, there's a game there. And the game is the scoring system. So if for every hit you get, this little LED readout here, will tick up.
Yep. It's up by one.
And so, and you can adjust the difficulty to make it so it affects the accuracy and stuff. There's a difficulty switch. But generally, that's the way it works.
Yeah.
When you get a hit, the little red light over here, bam, lights up.
Yeah.
Very satisfying, isn't it, Brent?
No.
Oh, I thought it was.
Okay.
Because, that's the sound of the police. Yeah. You know, that's what I heard. It's got the LED, police gimmick. It should have a little siren.
It doesn't actually spin, it flashes.
Well, it's still, it's cool. It lights up. It, that's the interaction.
That is the action in Action
now,
Max.
Let's say I shoot a target. Let's say I'm shooting Brent here. And I shoot him.
And much like the real game, I won't react.
Right. Well, you know. And so the light, let's say the light doesn't kick on, right? What's that mean? You missed.
Yeah, well.
That's what it means.
Well, it didn't register is what that means.
That's right. So that's pretty much the Action Max.
Yeah.
It's a little box that with an LED. So basically it's got the sensor equipment in here for the gun, a thing to drive the light, a thing to pass through the sound. That's pretty much it. There's nothing else. There's no other aspects to this particular console.
Well, let's go over the leaflets inside the box.
All right, you might want to hold that up for the folks here.
This is horribly washed out. There we go. This is one of the pieces of information that you get in the box.
Yeah.
Read this now. Score more later.
So like a dating guide.
These are basically instructions on how to get the most of your Action Max. It goes over things like adjust the contrast, adjust the TV, which I guess is the same as adjust the contrast. But we're on it. It says during the adjustment test, you can adjust the console to tone in that accuracy. That's actually supposed to be a distance thing, but it's just to work on your accuracy. It talks about how to sight in your targets. It wants you to look actually down the gun.
Yeah, it's got little sights on it.
And you said, you know, if you feel like you're missing, that might be the thing. And rewinding tip, you know, don't rewind in the middle of your game. That's cheating.
Yeah, I never thought about doing that. I'm too fair-minded for that sort of thing.
You do get a warranty card in all of its paper glory.
Kind of boring. Why don't we get to look at that?
And then this is probably the most interesting part of it.
Wait, hoarded it.
This side is talking about your contrast setting, but this is what gets me. This side, see this right here?
Explain
for
that
those,
to the
for those that at watching at home. This is a high score by week chart. And they are expecting you to play each game. It has all the games listed and squares for you to fill in your high score for 12 weeks. it has a chart here to let you track your progress
for 12 weeks. I like that.
Can you imagine playing this game for 12 weeks?
Absolutely. I can absolutely picture that.
You can.
No, you know, I want to actually, you just point something out that I hadn't noticed that's quite interesting, and we'll get into this. So, the Action Max had 5 games released for it in its entire existence, okay? You see 4 of them before you. You've got 38 Ambush Alley, Sonic Fury, Hydro Sub 2021, Pops Ghostly. There's actually one that I don't have, and it's rare, very rare.
It is the rarest.
It's called Blue Thunder. It's based on the film. Did you ever see that movie, Blue Thunder?
I have not. Well, I mean, I watched the Blue Thunder video, so sort of. I watched about 20 minutes of it.
I've seen the movie. In fact, that was the movie that played at one of my birthday parties when I was a kid. We rented a VCR so I could play some Blue Thunder in that thing. But Blue Thunder takes some of the footage of the movie and puts it in the game. And actually, I'm like Brent. I watched it as well. Probably my favorite game of the bunch.
It has the highest production quality because it was actually from the movie.
That's right.
Like they took the movie and put their little shooty discs.
And it worked. It worked. I mean, it works okay. Now,
you know what we could do?
What's that?
We could make an Action Max game.
We could, well, I don't know. We'd have to find a way to use those little spots on the screen.
We could do it, man. We can make our own Action Max game.
We could barely do this.
Well, okay.
So, one thing that Brent had when he lifted the sheet up here, if you look on this sheet, we'll take one more quick look. Look, there's a game listed at the bottom that is not actually a released game. Brent,
that's
read
correct.
That off there.
That is
that?
Fright Night.
Right.
Also based off the movie.
For the unformed, I am a big fan of the Fright Night movies. In fact, I personally spoke with the director of Fright Night and some of the cast members at a get-together. Very nice bunch. I'm a big Roddy McDowall fan. And I was licking my chops to find this Fright Night game. And it apparently was filmed and was complete. No one has ever seen it. No one has it, and it can. I can't find screenshots. I can't find anything on it. I would love to have it. I think that would have been a cool game for this, as cool as a game for this can be. I think the idea of using films to produce games for it would have been a good idea.
Have you ever thought about the copy protection? I mean, let's say this took off. This was the biggest hit ever. Okay, let's pretend that timeline exists.
Yeah.
How do you stop this from being copied?
Macrovision, I would guess. Although I don't think it had it on there. To be honest with you, I'm not sure it would work with Macrovision. So you got a point. VCR duplication it was definitely doable. 87?
Yeah, it was starting to get there. And if people were motivated to copy, if this was a huge hit and you could black market these games for, $10 a piece.
Them, yeah.
I said an alternate universe.
Yeah.
I bet that would have actually pushed tape duplication even faster.
I like to have seen a wrestling game where you click, you shoot a guy, and it'd say, make him fail. I would have Is that going to happen, right, in wrestling?
I have a few interesting tidbits.
All right, go
that
ahead.
I found an interview with one of the guys that worked on this.
Oh, okay. System.
He actually worked on Hydra Sub 2021, which is...
I didn't like
probably the best. Well, Blue Thunder's the best. It's probably second.
I'd say Hydra Sub is my second least favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. But he said that World of Wonder had big plans. They were even going to have technology that read multi-tracks so that when you shot something, it would switch to a different track in your VCR seamlessly and play different outcomes.
Now, what does that sound like?
Well, it sounds like Laserdisc.
Exactly.
But when the product failed, because this product... I'm not going to say single-handedly took down the company, but it was
instrumental
in
their death.
Definitely, because each of these games, and this might blow your mind too, each of these games cost over $1 million to film.
That does blow my mind.
It does.
I haven't seen the games.
Yeah, that's what the guy said. He said it was at least $1 million and he wouldn't go any further than that.
Wow. That is something. I've not ever heard that. That's craziness. The fact that they only released four or five games, really one they didn't really do footage for that much.
They probably paid.
You could see why they started going to movie licensing, because that would be probably a much cheaper way to go.
Yeah.
$1 million plus it's a lot less of a headache. And Britt mentioned that Worlds of Wonder ended up tanking and going out of business, and which is amazing considering the amount of success that they had.
Before Action Max, they were literally riding the wave of money. Teddy Ruxpin and Laser Tag, at least in the U.S., were Christmas... They were the go-to Christmas toy.
Yeah.
And those were the things you got reported on that were, out of stock at all the stores. So they were swimming in money heaven. And the whole reason why Action Max released when it did and how it did was they were pushing... They had heard that the Captain Power, which is sort of the same gimmick as a kid's Saturday morning cartoon
show. We'll get into
that
one.
They were trying to get out first.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah. So, Brent mentioned Captain Power. Captain Power was a competing effort in the realm of VHS interactive game TV shows. And this one came from Mattel. Captain Power was, I mean, I remember when this came on.
I do too.
And
I would watch it.
It was a live action show. That's what was wacky about it. And every episode they would devote 4 or 5 minutes to an interactive Captain Power interactive gun section, right? It was only it was a very short, and
it was 3 to 5 minutes per episode.
Right.
And then the credits would roll and you could interact with the credits.
And I read a lot about Captain Power when researching this, because I've never watched the show that much, but I'd heard rumors about it. And one of the rumors I heard was that it was sort of adultish in a way.
Well, it wasn't like scantily clad women or anything. It just tackled adult issues.
And one of the reasons it did that's because one of the writers for it was J. Michael Straczynski of among the many things he's done, he was responsible for Babylon 5. He yes. worked on a new Twilight Zone.
Yep.
He's worked on a myriad of different... I saw his name pop up on the Real Ghostbusters the other day. But he's quite an excellent and comic book writer as well. Wrote for Spider-Man for a while. Now the Captain Power gun was pretty interesting. It was a gun like space. Was shaped like a spaceship, basically. Yes. And there was a guy in your Captain Power gun, and when you shoot, and they had an extra gimmick that I wish Action Max had, is that when you're playing Captain Power, if you can shoot the screen, and if you miss, that's okay, but the screen can shoot back.
Yeah.
The bad guys can shoot back, and if they hit you, the pilot of your ship blows out, like he gets ejected,
yeah.
like you've been shot, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, You had shields, and as soon as your shields wore down, it would eject your guy. And the television show even had like secrets in it, Easter eggs, where you could repower your shields if you held your gun up at the right time. It really took the concept way farther than Action Max.
Unfortunately, it also failed.
It
actually was pretty successful at first, but then sales started to trickle off, and they realized that it was not to sustain the show and the weapon was not good. They were going to make enough money to keep it going.
Right.
And so they ended in 88.
Well, and their concept was, we're giving you the game for free, and then they're hoping to make the money off the advertisers during the show. But the problem with that is the advertisers were afraid to go with the show because only kids who had the toy were watching it, presumably. And then, you know, that wasn't good enough ratings to get the good ad money.
Yeah, although it did do well. It was a very popular show for the little while it was on.
I watched several episodes.
So,
and then
more VHS level tape game machine we talked about. And this one I never heard of, I'll have to admit. In 89, another effort was made, this time by the people over at ViewMaster.
Yep.
Now, if you remember ViewMaster, they were famous for the little ViewMaster viewer. You put the little
looks like
reels.
A pair of binoculars.
Yeah, you put little reels in it, and you flip through it with it, and you look through it, and the light in the room lights the back up. But it was actually, I had one. Everybody had one of those things back in the day. So ViewMaster had the ViewMaster Interactive Vision.
Yep.
Have you ever seen one of these things?
Maybe? I have not, but I have read about them.
So it was designed as an educational tool. A video game system, and it came with a Sesame Street game, and it had a Disney game, and the games had a joystick that was attached to the system that was, it looked like a lollipop. So this, there was no gun involved in this one.
Obviously, right.
And I'm assuming it did horribly, because there's not much about this system, so I'm guessing it didn't do too well.
I know that it's, the way it uses the technology was you answered questions. And you pointed your little lollipop controller at the answer you thought it was. And if you were right, it just gave you points. And if you were wrong, it didn't matter because, again, it was on a videotape, so it just kept
rolling. That's not a bad idea.
It's probably the best use of
the
technology.
It's the best implementation of it.
Yeah,
that's not too bad. So, with all that out of the way, from the non-vast, incredibly limited library of offerings... for the Action Max, Brent and myself picked a couple. I think I'll go first this week, Brent, since mine is definitely the dud of the two.
Okay.
For whatever reason, for whatever reason, I don't know what I was thinking, because I've played this and it was disappointed every time I've played it. But what the hell? I picked The Rescue of Pops Ghostly. All right, so on this video offering, The video starts out with some kids playing in front of this like suburban area.
Yeah.
And they're playing with a ball, and their dog runs through the door of this house. Okay. And the house doesn't look like that spooky.
No, it just looks like a normal house.
It does, except it's dark in there. So you're just some. You're not ever, and I don't think in any of these
you
games,
aren't a kid playing with the kids.
It doesn't identify who you are.
You're just running after them.
You just kind of,
you're the homeowner.
It looks like, if you ever watch the old Halloween movies, when they switch to the point of view of like Michael Myers, where it's just like a guy walking briskly, that's what your looks like. It's kind of creepy. So you follow these kids into the house. Enough said. And when you go in there, it's a dark house, and as you close the door, there's the phoniest sea-level lightning effects that go off in the background. Basically, they just take...
It looks like they just flip the switch on and off.
They just go... and the outside just goes gamma for a second.
Yeah.
It's so $1 million they spent on these, eh?
That's $1 million.
Not on this effect they didn't.
Per game.
So you go in there and a ghost pops in. He's like, I'm Pops Ghostly. And he starts telling you this tale along with his idiotic family of ghosts about these mean ghosts that have taken over the house.
Yeah.
You gotta get rid of these mean ghosts. Pops Ghostly, how would you describe what he is, the effect used for Pops Ghostly? I'm going to go with ethereal hand puppet.
It is one step above sheet overhead for outfits.
Yeah, I think it's a hand puppet that someone's stood in front of a green screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we're like, ooh, I'm Pops Ghostly. This is very similar. I'm Pops Ghostly, y'all. Boo! And so that's when you spring in action with your trusty blaster here. That's right. So, what do you do? And I just to give you a little flavor here, I've got the box here. So this is the tag on the back. Pops Ghostly and his family desperately need your help. Pops moms, that's right, moms, and their son's an idiot. Live in a quiet suburban neighborhood. They're peaceful folks, and the only house they haunt is their own. But there has been a change. Ghastly characters have suddenly invaded their home. Ghoulies, goblins, and ugly, ugly creatures appear everywhere. That's true. Over there, behind the couch, look out. They're hurling balls of ectoplasm. Upstairs, the attic's full of them. Won't you please help? So who can resist that? Now, that is an effective rendition of what you're doing.
In their death, are they still paying rent on the house? They say it's theirs?
I don't know. So
taxes.
At this point, the camera starts to very slowly pan around the house,
yeah,
taking plenty of time to stop and let you take in the effects that these things. I'm a big Mystery Science Theater fan, and these effects are garbage. They're less. They're worse. They're big Birdemic. Look like Jurassic Park.
Yeah, if you're thinking haunted house from like Disney, you're off. Think more, and don't even think like haunted house that sets up for the week before Halloween. No, you're still off. This is more like if one man had 10 minutes to put together a haunted house in his own home.
Yeah.
Because it's literally just filming someone's home
in the dark
with horrible effects sort of meshed over top of it.
So basically, here's the way this particular game works, and I think this is really the only one that's like this, which is good. So the camera will pan onto a scene, and maybe the scene will be a rocking chair and a couch, right? Then these idiotic looking ghosts hone into view. Again, think green screen and think someone sort of like holding up a ghost effect, basically. and then they'll have the little silver discs on them. You shoot them, a little light goes off if you hit them. After about a minute or two of that, you move on. Right.
Well, sort of.
Now, think that for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the game. You go upstairs, you go in the living room, in the library. But, I mean, these are low-level effects over boring background.
Yeah.
With crap. And then at one point, you go in this, like, I've noticed a lot of these videos have this sort of effect of, like, going through, like, some kind of, like, warp hole or something.
Yeah.
It's not good either, although it's probably the best thing in it. And then once you finish shooting all these ghosts, Pops comes up and thanks you. And then the credits roll.
Yeah, succeed or fail. Yeah. I mean, if you do nothing, you still succeed.
Right. I mean, yeah, you can just sit there and watch the whole darn thing.
Because, again, it's a videotape. If you want to experience it for yourself, just look it up on YouTube.
So this thing was released in May of 1987. And this is one thing I like about the system. It's the only system that we've got that I can go to Internet Movie Database to look up the stats.
Didn't even think of that.
So, this, believe it or not, on Internet Movie Database has a 6.2 out of 10. So, how bad could it be? You didn't know about that.
I wonder if it has Rotten Tomato entry.
The tagline, friendly suburban ghosts need you to help protect them from evil spirits that have moved in. This was directed by Ron Brody. The writer was a guy named Mitchell Barry. And this has stars. Steve Dwyer. Maureen Hawks, Jeremy Luke Lewis. So I guess these are the people that actually are voicing the ghosts. Or maybe,
right,
they're the kids. And you never see the kids again, by the way.
No, they're a plot device to get you in the house.
from what I've read here, Wire did the Gordy ghost, and Maureen Hawkins did Mom's ghost, and Pop's ghost was played by James Newell. How about that? What? So if you want to write these guys a fan mail, you're good to go. Sad truth is this is the worst of the videos. I've seen all of them, and
no,
I hate this one the most.
No, this is not the worst.
You have a worse one?
Yes.
Okay, we'll get to you in a minute.
Yeah.
I don't recommend Pop's Ghostly. I think it's horrible. If you want to play something on the Action Max, I would personally, if you want my top five, it would be Blue Max 1. I think Sonic Fury would be 2. 38 Ambush Alley 3 and Hydro Sub 4 and Pop's Ghostly 5. So, yeah, it's horrible. Brent, what did you think of Pop's Ghostly?
It was horrible.
Yeah.
Again, it's not a bad game because it's not a game.
No, it's not.
So, it's a bad experience.
Yeah.
The quality of the video, the effects, the sound, everything's horrible.
It is.
It's
amazing. When you said they spent $1 million on this, I am baffled
game.
At that.
And this was back in the day, $1 million, not current day $1 million.
And the thing is, you could have made an awesome ghost game. You could have taken an old Scooby-Doo, put little dots on it, and made a better game.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I don't know why they
spent no money.
Yeah. Well,
or like a Ghostbusters game, where you could take some footage from that and shoot at it. That'd be awesome. I mean, it'd be more awesome. There is potential in something like this from back in the day. I think part of the reason this failed was the poor implementation of these videos. Even the best one's not the best.
No, the best one is still absolute garbage.
Yeah.
But let's talk about 38 Ambush Alley.
All right, please.
It is by far worse than yours.
Oh, what?
Yes.
One thing yours has got that mine doesn't have is awesome acting.
And first off, it doesn't have acting, it has act. It has one actor who says something.
Right, he's funny.
He's not funny. The rest of the video, it has a few standarounds that literally will walk into a scene and stand there and then walk away. They have no lines, no personality, no nothing. They might as well not even exist. So let's talk about what 38 Ambush Alley is instead of what it isn't. It is a cop simulator, sorta. And here's why it's really, really bad. Your first opening scene has you at the training ground, right? Where paper targets will pop up with circles on them and you shoot the circles. Problem number one with this, they stay on screen way too long. It's not like they pop up and disappear. Some of them do.
That's pretty much all the games is like that.
Yeah, but I mean, the pop-up on this is like 7 or 8 seconds. And you're like, oh my gosh, please just move on. And you can shoot these things multiple times. So, you know, you can just rapid fire on the first target and get the high score. Moving on, though. After your training is finished, you move into the actual Ambush Alley, which is still not acted by anyone except the one cop who is now your partner. You went from rookie cop to partner with the trainer. But I'm not going to go over plot holes.
I'd make darn sure she trained him well. That's usually the way it works in the police, right?
When you go down this Ambush Alley, the things you're attacking are just mannequins. They're not real people. They don't have any interaction. They'll pop into a window and then go away. It looks like they went to somewhere that was an actual shooting gallery. Which I don't know if they did. I couldn't find any information. Finding information on this crap is nigh impossible. But they'll pop them through a window. You'll shoot them. You'll shoot them. You'll shoot them. They'll pop down out of the window. You move on to the next scene. The reason why Ambush Alley is so bad is it repeats targets a lot. A lot, a lot. So you might shoot the same guy in the same window, like on 6 different scenes. It's really bad in that regard. The best part about it is it's got cheesy, over-the-top, angry cop actor. He is amusing to watch.
He's great.
I mean, well, great is probably
great bad. Great bad.
He is the room to Action Max, because he is way over the top.
He's one of the few live actual actors you get to hang out with for, I mean, in some, like the sub game, there's some guys in the control room and some of these, but like this guy's their guy right there.
He stays with you pretty, and he's, you know, bad mouthing you, and then he turns it around and ends up liking you by the end of the video. This one, again, it's about 20 minutes long. I salute you if you can stomach setting through all the videos. Like, I made it through all of Ambush Alley because it was my game. I made it through most of Pops Ghost. I think I watched Pops Ghostly at double speed. The sub one, actually, I watched probably the most outside of mine, just because it has it's not a puppet, but it's not an animatronic. It's just
a wind-up puppet.
It has string puppets that are supposed to be mechanical.
Marionette.
There we go. But not that either. But that's sort of the feel it gets. Is that jumpy feel? It's
Thunderbird's
so
level marionette.
Cheesy. But it was at least amusing. I don't
that
know.
That one, I mean, my problem with that one is it's really boring.
And they're all really boring.
Well, no, I thought, for example, I enjoyed Blue Thunder and I enjoyed 38 Alley because the cops were funny. Blue Thunder was like sort of, they had cool movie footage.
Well, okay. So let's back up a little bit. What are my favorite games in the action act? Blue Thunder's number one with a bullet because it has actual production quality.
Yep.
Number two is probably Sonic Fury because it's also, it's really bad. When you say, here's the difference between Sonic Fury and Blue Thunder. Blue Thunder has real stuff flying around, planes and targets and stuff like that. Sonic Fury has literal planes on sticks that they move in and out of the scene. Like, you can see the stick that the plane is attached to. That's the quality level of the video we're dealing with here. So, you know what? I'm not going to put Sonic Fury second. I'm going to put Pops Ghostly second. Yeah, because at least it was so dark. And
it's the most boring one.
No, it's not. It at least has things like, oh, well, that skeleton looks like a skeleton-ish. Like an animated skeleton. It was probably my second favorite.
Oh, my God.
The sub was probably the third. Sonic Fury was just so cheesy. I hated mine. I hated it. The cop was funny, and then he got annoying, and then I just wish I was dead. So...
I think we can both agree that the best one ever released was Fright Night.
Yeah.
The one never released. So overall, your impressions on the Action Max, Brent?
Well, I think it is the best VHS gun-controlled video game console that didn't have a Saturday morning television tie-in.
Fair enough. And so we hope you've enjoyed the Action Max look. Now... You know what time it is.
Oh, gosh. We got to disassemble the
Hit
set.
Hit the music. You do that.
You know, my loving wife always says that the music is too loud. And she can't hear what we're saying.
If it's too loud, you're too old. My motto.
She's far, far younger than you are.
I'll tell.
But who isn't, right?
That's her story. We should have the light go off every time we spin the wheel.
No, we shouldn't. We should never talk about this episode again. Back it way up, dude. Hey, way up. Today, we added...
The FM Towns Marty.
Oh.
Man, if we get this, it's going to be crazy time. Brent, spin the wheel.
We need a good one. Okay, here we go.
Going, backing it up. All right, back it up.
Oh, the little logo's crooked.
That's all right.
Makes me sad.
That's because we're crooked.
What? Not nearly crooked. Oh, God, no. Oh, it's another chat choice.
Oh, man.
Oh, this is Holy's dad.
First of all, we've got to spin the wheel again.
That's right.
And we'll get into chat choice in a moment. My God, already. All right. So this will be next week's game. What do we got?
That is Neo Geo Pocket.
Neo Geo Pocket. Okay.
Good choice.
Now, so you want to go ahead and talk about the chat choice?
Yes. Chat choice, ladies and gentlemen. There are three ways to submit your choice to us. Number one, comment below. Number two, email us that email address.
It's at the bottom of the screen. It'll be argpresents@mail.com.
There we go. And third way is to contact us through our Discord. So if you have a suggestion for us or want to vote up on someone else's suggestion, let us know. We'll compile. And then not next week, but the week after, we will play your selection.
And I will say this, just as a side note, our last fan choice episode, the Wonder Swan,
was
one of
good.
The least watched episodes in the history of this program. So, please, for the love of God, pick something that you didn't want to watch.
Although I like the Wonder Swan. It was a fun
episode. I didn't like the Wonder Swan that much. I didn't think it was a very good console, frankly. But there you go. But it was cheap. It got much like the Action Max. But it's way better than that, let's be fair.
Well, yeah, that's not even comparable.
So next week, Brent, your thoughts on the Neo Geo Pocket.
I love the concept. I've never owned or played a Neo Geo Pocket. I know they are highly praised for their quality of games.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to see what we can get into.
I agree. So next week, Neo Geo Pocket. And then send in those suggestions for the week after. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week for Neo Geo Pocket. And until then,
stand and deliver.
I want action tonight. Satisfaction.